Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Red Men TV. I am Bailey Shaw. To my right, your left, is Mr. Ross Charnley. And we're here to discuss the game after Liverpool have just tightly beaten Fulham 2-1 at the Craven Cottage. Ross,
yeah,
what a fucking important result that was.
Massive. It was a bit bizarre, actually. I was quite comfortable throughout the whole of that game. And it was just a matter of time before the second goal came.
Yeah.
It wasn't coming. And I think more as... as more the game goes on, you kind of think, but Fulham weren't really great. And everything for Van Dijk and Matip, I thought, were solid, besides the point we're going to get to in a bit. But Mitch Fish didn't really have a chance. Babel was doing Trent a couple of times, but he was the only real threat for me. Yeah, and then he just made it tense for us.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep doing it to us.
No, I know. It seemed like a routine, you know, everyone was saying before the game, we've got to do a professional job, and I think we were being very professional. We were pushing at the right times, getting Trent as much of the ball as possible, Robertson as much of the ball, trying to play our game, and Fulham didn't really have a sniff.
No.
And then, of course, fucking out of nowhere, sort of in the true Liverpool fashion, if it's all working for us, we've got to sort of be our own demise. It then, a brain fart from Alisson and Van Dijk, and it's the game's wide open.
And Milner.
And Milner, of course.
Yeah. Something again that I said on the build-up of when you see these games now, I'm not cocky or arrogant about it. You just seem like you said that control was the word that you use. That's what we seem to be a lot better at in these games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brain fart was another perfect word to use of going, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I think fortunately we won the game still, so I think there's a bit more give for forgiveness for Alisson, Van Dijk and Milner in that case.
Yeah.
And it's just a lack of communication. I don't think it's panic just setting. We wouldn't think so between them two because they're probably the calmest people on the pitch.
You're right.
And the best thing after it was, my arse went, I'm not going to lie.
No,
but theirs didn't.
Yeah.
And Alisson was still passing out from the back.
Yeah.
But even though he really shouldn't be doing it for the half the nation's sake, or Liverpool fan base sake, sorry. And I like that professionalism about them. Whereas before, years gone by, we all know what happened with the carriers. So we've been getting it up. But that's where it could cost you the game. And we've had the mentality to go on and go, actually, you know, we're still in control of this game. Because Fulham and the fans could have got on top of us there.
No, you're right.
We never let it happen.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you mentioned Karius, but it could go even deeper than that. I mean, you look at 13-14, we're cruising, and the biggest icon in recent Liverpool history, Steven Gerrard, makes a mistake that then costs us the league. And the icons that are Van Dijk and Alisson this season, and how much we've built them up and sort of into a superhuman status. Like, Van Dijk's a god among men. You know, Alisson's fantastic in goal. He's the best keeper in the Premier League in terms of clean sheets. That had the making of that 13-14 mistake, where if that happens and we drop points, it gives all the other fans the chance to go, that mistake there. Those two guys that you've built up to be titans among football, that you think are all sort of unbreakable, they're the reason that cost you the league. That could have been a very easy narrative for Rival fans to jump on. And
Sky would have fucking loved that.
Martin Tyler was an absolute prick that game, but well, what's new? But it was that case of, Pris said it during the game, you know, as soon as that went in, it's the mark of champions to turn that draw into a win. And that's exactly what we did. And I think that, could say that, had it not worked for us and we'd have drawn that game and dropped points, fell 4 points behind City, it could have been such a dampener. But again, that team shows real nous, shows real professionalism, like we say. I think that's the word to use for this game. And it showed that we're not that 13-14 team anymore. We will stand up and be counted, and we won't be down and out just because we have a spawny goal going.
I think there's a totally different mindset to the 13-14 team, or even the 08-09. 13-14 was built on the front three or front four at the time. Whereas this is going, well, okay, Salah, again, I don't think he had a crap game.
No.
I think he was selfish in parts.
Yeah.
But then there's other parts of that team where you can rely on. Mm-hmm. So obviously Mane had a really good game.
Yeah.
But in 13-14, it was like, well, if the front three or front four didn't have a good game, you knew the defence was in one, two, three or four goals. Mm. This is the first time where I think defensively, like, we've been shocking, and Matic's tried to score a few own goals.
Yeah.
He's been successful many a time.
Yeah.
But it's just, everyone goes bangs on about luck, and I was like, how unlucky were we for Milner to slice the ball, for Van Dijk to head it when he doesn't do anything wrong, and it leads to a goal. Alisson, again, could he be braver? Could he come out more?
Yeah.
Lack of communication, his brain fart, or did he just, like, three people switched off at once?
Mm-hmm.
What's the chances of that happening again? And even as a fan, I was like, no, this is all right. This is not going to do it again.
No, that's right. And I think, like you say, I don't think, because Alisson and Van Dijk have got that rapport with each other, where I think Alisson, like we do as fans, Alisson expects everything on a silver platter because it's Van Dijk and it's going to come crisp and smooth. And Alisson reciprocates by not panicking, playing balls across the floor, which, like you said, he carried on doing after the mistake, which is a testament to his character.
It's the initial reaction as well. So it's not like, okay, you talk about 5-10 minutes afterwards, whatever was left, 15 minutes at a time. But it's when it happens, it's not like they're not screaming at each other. Do you know what I mean? Not balling, the heads didn't go.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like, I think Van Dijk was going like, come on, to go. And it's like, good, that's what I want to see. That gives me confidence as a fan, as a player, whatever. I'm sure Klopp was going absolutely mental on the sideline. They didn't show it. But again, that's the mentality that we want now. It's like, don't lose your heads. Don't get pissed off with each other. Just get, you've got 15 minutes after the game, which is quite a significant amount of time. I can't say I was confident we were going to get that second goal.
No, you're right,
But the way the game played out, you kind of feel like you deserved it, because we put the pressure on throughout the whole of the game. We were creating chance opportunities for him, sitting back deep. We did already hit the bar. You're thinking, again, that second goal was coming. When you don't get it and they score off the against the run of play, you kind of think, fuck, it's going to be one of them again.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's the case of, you know, we've been brilliant this season, and there's been times where it's been tough and we've battled through. This is the first game that I can remember where it's really been a sucker punch, sort of like that's come out of nowhere. We controlled the game, that was our game for the taking. You know, people were already sort of going, right, rubbing their hands at this was a routine, excellent win for Liverpool. That comes out of nowhere, and everyone's just taken back. And I think, like you say, that mentality that's been drilled into us from past teams, 08, 09, 13, 14, that it's that underlying fear that sort of this team's tried to sort of eradicate and say, no, we're a different Liverpool team. And that really showed today, and that, and it just, like I say, it had the makings of being the narrative that was all these rival fans would feed off, and it could have really sort of derailed the mentality of Liverpool and especially the team. But no, they put the world to rights and they said, this is not us. And it's a massive testament to them. But of course,
as a Liverpool fan though, and subliminally, I think you have particularly the Burnley and the Leicester games in the back of your mind going, it's going to be one of them again.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And again, it, you're in control of the game. We've had chances we haven't taken, and that's where it's like, it's going to be a draw.
Yeah, and it does. It's that point of the season, you know, seven games left now. It was eight at the time. It's win or bust. And I've had the mentality of the next team to lose a game out of us and City are going to drop it. That they're going to be the team that miss out. And we've been a victim of having too many draws. And like you said, that this had the writings of, that's just not falling for us today. And to then take the game by the balls and write your own narrative and say, we're not going to have it this time. We've learned from Leicester. We've learned from West Ham. We're going to do it. We're going to take this into a comfortable win like we deserve. The way we were playing, we deserve that win. And it's huge props to the team for that. But it wasn't all doom and gloom, of course. No. We had a fantastic sort of couple of goals. And we talked the first one first. Obviously, Mane gets the goal. But it was a fantastically well-worked team goal in the sense we were testing down that left-hand side. Robertson and Trent have been so important in this game, as they have been all season. And it's that little 1-2 from Robbo, plays Mane across. Mane comes in, takes the ball, puts it away. And it's just, Mane's in shit-hot form at the minute, isn't he?
He's superb. I don't want to take away James's lines of doing his but to me.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
He's absolutely on fire. Again, he starts that, so he gets the ball. But again, even stuff wasn't coming off, and it's always criticism of Mane. I think you described him as being quite erratic, was the word that you used, and I think that's right sometimes. But the fact that he carries on trying stuff, he wears people down, even if it's physically or mentally, if you're Fosu-Mensah, who's the right back. He's relentless. I quite like that. So if something doesn't work, he'll carry on trying that, or he'll try something different, or cut inside or whatever. He's popping up in all sorts of positions. Again, the penalty we'll get to in a minute, that comes from him. He hit the bar. He's just a constant threat. So as we said this for a couple of weeks now, as much as Salah, you think, kind of has gone off the boil, well, that's because people are kind of like got wise to him from last season. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll keep an eye on him or whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
me and my honey's walking around going, yeah, I'm having the time of your life.
Giving it to McGregor, yeah.
You can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
Of course, he can't. And again, I don't get enough credit for this, but Robertson as well.
Yeah.
The amount of times he gives him the overlap, you'll either give him the overlap as an option,
yeah,
or you'll drag a defender away and then give Marnie space to go and cut inside.
Mm.
If you're even if you're two defenders, are you thinking, because it happens so much, we can't work out what's going to happen next.
Yeah, no, you're
so
right.
So Marnie can just go and do anything. Well, we by Munich, we'd be saying he can do anything. Watford, he can do anything.
Mm.
Again, I've just put it in my play ratings for the website that the goalkeeper is a penalty for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's running towards the ball, even if it's away from goal, well, he's going to do some mad shit in back heel anyway.
So yeah, yeah. No,
I may as well close line and fucking take him out anyway.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He's absolute credit. And again, it comes back to the thing of you saying this mentality, I've never given up.
Mm.
I don't get what any of the players did, by the way, but again, he's getting himself into positions, he's working the opposition to win games for Liverpool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's not, say, it was only Burnley last weekend. Obviously, people forget since we've had that massive result in Europe. It was 3-2 in that Burnley game, and it was Sadio Mane who goes up the other end and says, fuck off. Like, this isn't deserved to be 3-2. He scores that goal in sublime fashion, and it's a case of Mo Salah was so much of the star man. He was the spotlight of Liverpool season last year. Liverpool Football Club and Mo Salah were in tandem, whereas I think this season it is Alisson's so important, Van Dijk's so important, Fabinho, that midfield, the work ethic, the fullbacks, and it just happens to be that It's Sadio Mane up front this season for the forwards that's just doing the business when Mo Salah's having that sort of that torrid time of trying to break that 50 goal duck, which is it's a real thing. You can see it with so many fantastic footballers that have that little bit of break in form, and it just takes them a little while to get going. And you could see with he was forcing shots today, and he had that ball that Mane plays through to him that you're just like, oh, just finish that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's hard work for him, but when your star man from last season is not performing, you need a guy to pick up the slack. And Mane's done that consistently. I think that's one criticism we've had of him, like I say, being erratic, being inconsistent. He can have five games brilliantly, go missing for a few games, and he pops up here and there. But this is the best Sadio Mane I've seen since he's joined the club. And I think that it's coming in such an important time for him, and how important it is for Europe, for the Premier League, that if he doesn't play in the form that he's playing, we don't win this game. So he wins that game, and like you said, we'll come on to the penalty now. We were in the bin. Like we were like, it was 1-1, sucker punch out of nowhere. We were sat in silence watching the game for a good 2 minutes, just like, oh man. Oh, the fear of just rolling back into your head. And it's Sadio Mane who doesn't stop harrying. He gets in the positions, and he's the reason that you made a great point of he goes for that. The goalkeeper basically has to rugby tackle him, because if he gives him an inch of space, he's going to create something. And I think that's a huge credit to Mane.
Yeah, again, he's the relentless of him. I think that's one thing now we can look back on and kind of say, you can't really doubt this Liverpool side, even if it goes to 1-1 or even like we've been behind before this season. We pulled things back. Burnley was one of them. I think maybe Arsenal was another one, I can't remember.
Mm.
But it's the fact that years gone by, I've watched Liverpool sides, you've had wingers, and I think people seem to forget sometimes that Mane and Salah are essentially wingers that score fucking loads of goals.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't get into positions, they wouldn't make runs, they wouldn't create stuff, and then you'd have like, I don't know, two shots per game or something.
Like a Ryan Babel.
Yeah, exactly. But Mane keeps going. I think even when there's 15 minutes left to go, it always gives you some sort of hope as a little fan of going, actually, I think we're going to create something else, we'll cause problems.
Mm.
I think Fulham invited a lot of their problems onto us.
Yeah.
But again, they're in a difficult position. What they're supposed to do, kind of, it's picky
poison. Yeah, you don't know whether to sit back, do you attack?
Come back. So, but again, Mane goes to 1-1, and just think how pissed off he must have been.
Mm.
I'm going, Jesus Christ, lads, I've wear my bollocks off here.
Yeah.
Got us a goal, and then you go and do that.
Mm.
And it just comes back to mentality for me.
Yeah.
Of going, actually, now none of them are having that.
Mm.
And again, Mane, okay, he maybe to himself, he was pissed off with what happened.
Mm.
But he doesn't get down about it. He's going, no, get scruff in the neck of the game.
Mm.
Let's go again. Gets himself in front of the goalkeeper. Again, I think it's Mo who creates that chance in the first place.
Yeah.
Fine, just keep going. Unselfish to set Mo up for that chance you were talking about.
Yeah.
I think he took on two defenders, and Mo makes the overlap.
Mm.
He's hit the bar. Again, he's just superb.
Yeah.
One thing I would say about Mo Salah is, part of me quite likes the selfishness of him, because he's shown that he's hungry.
Yeah, of course.
And he wants to get. But I don't even see him at the 50th goal. I think he just wants Liverpool to win.
Yeah.
And part of it will be the 50th goal thing. But you can't slate him for it. He's just
no. He's doing. He does everything right, and just
he needs to pick his moments. If that's the problem. That's what I was going to say to you. He needs to pick his moments. So there's a chance where there's literally three people to the left of him, and he's going for goal, and there's people that are like just fucking pass it. Mm-hmm. I think it happened. Was it the Munich game as well? And there's three of us screaming left at the telly. It's like pick your moments, go and do it. I get you want to get your goal. Mm. I get you want the team to win. That's fine. And one thing that I put on my player ratings was defensively. I thought he was really good. There was a chance where Fulham made a break.
And he tracks all the way back from
that. He blocks off the pass for the overlap. I think he's from a corner. Mm. Fair play to him.
Yeah, no, he's an evolved Mo Salah in the sense that he senses the frustration. He knows that he's known as this goal-scoring monolith as he was last season in the ranks of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo's. And it's so hard to imitate that. But he's not letting his head drop. He's not getting frustrated at his overall game. He's not kicking the floor, throwing his hands up in anguish every time that he doesn't come off. You've got every right to be frustrated when you're a player of his calibre, but when it affects the team, that's when it comes back to you.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You're absolutely right. He's not a selfish player. He's not lost that team player of what makes our front three click so much. And
you don't get that from a lot of other forwards in the league. Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
There's loads of, like, you can name a handful of people. They wouldn't be lazy. Let's go, that's not my job to do. Yeah. And again, I think that's part of the reason why Shaqiri doesn't start.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't play. He's great, brilliant going forward, brilliant creating space.
Yeah.
But that opportunity came back, would you trust Shaqiri to be doing what Mo Salah's just done?
You're absolutely right.
Because I wouldn't.
No, that's a great point. And it will fall for Mo, like I say. It's just, but the main point is it's so much more than goals. Like I say, when you've got a player like Mo who's picking up the goals, you still need a guy to do everything else. Like I say, he's a winger still, first and foremost. So he needs to do the defensive duties as well as the attacking duties. And he still makes like an average of 10 dribbles per game. Still creates his chances. He still had the ball in the opposition box 5 or 6 times that this game. And that's a consistent thing for him. So it will fall for Salah. So, say it's just another one of those games that rolls over and you're just like, it will come.
Saving it for Spurs, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about it.
That's a great point. Yeah. But we're building Mane up, but Mane doesn't get the goal. It's James Milner that gets the goal. And you know, we were saying he comes on and Virg takes his armband off, gives it to Bobby to go and give to him on the halfway line. And I said, is that mandatory or is that sort of like a courtesy? And just saying, here, you're the realised vice captain. He's the vice captain of the team. You go and take this armband. And it was a real captain's stepping up for that that penalty and saying, like I say, Mo, there's too much pressure on you. I know you're a good penalty taker, but I'm the cool guy. I'm the man that's gonna slot this away. And the fashion that he does it is cool to a T.
I mean, you say he's the cool guy. He essentially gives the goal away.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Slicing the ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the penalty, the balls to hit it down the middle for me.
And I
think a few of us kind of thought he went off to the left before seeing the replay, and you're thinking that's why he came on.
Yeah.
He came on because he's got the experience, he's got the mentality, he's won stuff before. You need that to kind of either calm people down or reassure people. Didn't start very well by giving the ball away.
Of course,
he did, but I had confidence in him that he was going to score.
Yeah, no, and it's huge that he's even on the pitch to take that, because say he doesn't come on, it does fall to Mo Salah to take that penalty, and if he misses that,
destroys
it. It destroys his confidence. Say he's struggling so much to try and find his goal. And that's, and again, it writes another narrative for rival fans to say, look at your one season wonder, look at your guy who's cost a few points. And it was very well managed by Klopp. Say he brings him on, we work hard for the penalty, and Milner just steps up and says, I'm doing it. Because you need a guy like Steven Gerrard did that you look to and say, he's the penalty taker. Now, you've got a handful of good penalty takers in the team, but if this guy's on the pitch, he takes it. There's no debates. And he does it in such a cool fashion. Like I say, he slots it down the middle and he wins us the game. And it's then brilliant game management to see the game out by Liverpool Football Club. And then we go on and get the win. But let's talk about outstanding performances. Because I think we've talked a lot about Mane. I think he's probably a lot of people's man of the match. But
Lallana.
Just going to say, Lallana was the second guy on my team sheet. Bloody hell. Say, I had him in my starting 11. I was saying, I don't think he's done enough to start in Europe, but he definitely deserves to start this game after Burnley. And I think he really, really gave a performance to the fans to say, I'm still in contention in this midfield.
Do you know what's mad? The contrast in opinions on Twitter. So when the team, she got announced last week and it was Burnley.
Mm.
What the fuck's going on? What's that? He's fucking shit.
Yeah.
Today, Lallana's starting. Great, yeah, glad Lallana's starting. I said on the build-up show, one of my problems with Lallana is his consistency.
Yep.
So we could have that performance from Burnley, but we wouldn't see it again until next season, probably.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And I think he showed again the quality and why Klopp trusted him.
Mm.
He must have been working hard on training again. Obviously, Naby Keita's injured, so he wasn't starting. Jakeer on the bench. But again, it comes back to what we were saying about Salah before, that defensive work.
Mm.
He leads the press.
Yeah,
he was so good at two seasons ago, and again, he hasn't shown it for two seasons, essentially.
Yeah.
But to do it, like, okay, 2 weeks isn't consistent, but it is.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. What more do you want from him? Yeah. He's a guy that's been...
He's taken his opportunities, but he's done.
Exactly. He's a guy that's been harried with injuries every single season. When he looked like he's coming back, he has a game or two where he's poor, he gets injured again. And that's not the Alan Lallana it is the Lallana that we remember, but he's not the one we know and love from two, three seasons ago, where he was that our best midfielder. He was that sort of force with Firmino, Mane, Coutinho and Lallana. They were the Fab Four of old. And look, it's not, we're getting that vintage, fucking hate that saying, but we're getting that like classic Lallana back that was so important to scoring goals. And I say it all the time, I think he's lost a lot of his pace, he's lost a lot of his physicality, but he's still...
Not lost that crease there, no, has he?
Not, his ankle seems to work fine. Yeah, yeah. It's that close control, that dribbling. He plays a position that not many other midfielders can play that well. Like I say, if you're trying to play a 4-3-3, Ox is the best guy to play as your out-and-out 10 because he's brilliant at scoring goals as well as providing them. But when he's not on the pitch, I think he's the best option, especially against teams like Fulham and Burnley. And I think we got another performance Burnley-esque because it says, okay, let's see what you can do. There's no reason to drop you. You're showing a lot of nous here. And I think that, as I say, do we bring him in against a big team like Spurs? Do you think he's done enough?
I think you could argue a case for him, certainly, yeah.
Mm.
It's not just his press as well, and his touch, obviously, but it's his speed of transition for me, which I don't think you get from anyone
else.
Still
very game smart, isn't
it? Yeah, and that's what we've been lacking. Everyone says, like, creativity and stuff. You get creativity from your fullbacks, Fabinho, Van Dijk, spraying 70, 80-yard balls, or whatever you want to do. But Lallana, like, he did it before. He jumped up for a header with someone, shoved him out the way, took a lovely touch with his foot to bring it down, and he's looking up next, where to go. And we've lacked, particularly against the low-block, smaller teams, that's where we've lacked the creativity in essence, because he'll just get the ball and he'll play it forward. He'll look for whoever's in front of him, whoever's making the run in behind. Okay, he might not come off three out of four times or something, but he's still trying. He's still going. I think you'd have to be a bit more cautious against Spurs because obviously Spurs are a lot more attacking. But again, he does the defensive work.
Yeah. I was saying I don't think he's done enough for Europe, but two very solid performances against lower league teams. Say he's in a shout there for man of the match. If Mane doesn't do the things he does, he's definitely second or third choice, I think. And it's really good to see, because in a time where our midfield is probably the most up for debate position, like I say, we've got a regimented back five, we've got a regimented front three, you really have to state your claim in that midfield to say, I want to be a first team player. And I think Fabinho's done that fantastically. I think Gini's done that brilliantly. And it's then that last place that's so up for grabs. And I think Lallana offers something so different to the rest of the midfield. And it's really nice to see the narrative of him being turned. And he's doing that by his own desire, because he's showing us fans we've got him wrong. And I think that it's brilliant for Lallana. And I think...
He's got that third place for me.
You think?
Again, depending on who your opposition is.
I'm
thinking you make a case for him starting against Spurs, because, again, is Shaqiri going to be tracking back that you require from him?
Yeah.
Against Spurs, obviously really good on the break, or just in general, really good attacking side. Naby Keita's been injured.
Yeah.
Lack of game time.
Yep.
Would you chuck him in against Spurs?
Nope, probably not. Yeah.
The only other option that you go for is James Milner, but then everyone's going to say, you know, it's not the Brexit midfield because Fabinho and Gini are in there, but it's like they're all defensive minded players, aren't
exactly.
So,
exactly. He's a brilliant option to have, and he had another fantastic game today. And a couple of other names that I had down, Bobby. I think he's very much like Gini Wijnaldum in the sense that he's so reliable. Like I say, it often doesn't pop up with goals because he's got 11 this season, which is still fantastic for a guy that's basically playing two positions anyway. But it's just the ability that he has to read a game, and he's so calm on the ball, and when he drops deep, he facilitates everything. Like I say, he goes right, he goes left, he plays forward. Like we say about Lallana in terms of his game sharpness and his intelligence in the game, Bobby's second to none, I think, than anybody on that pitch.
Him and Gini, I don't think we'll get the plaudits for this game, but they do the dirty work.
Yeah.
So it's not attractive. It's not like, okay, Bobby does like this.
It's not the goals and the assists.
Yeah, he's like to play stuff. Again, you talk about Bobby might do like the assist and the assist sometimes, so he won't get the credit for it.
Yeah.
But again, it's that dropping deep, that press. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't get that from any other attacker. So, like, whereas Fulham look to you on the counter attack sometimes, but you can't worry about going forward because you've got to worry about what Bobby Firmino is. Like, is he behind you?
Of course.
He doesn't give you that time on the ball.
Yeah.
And if it's not Bobby doing it, it's Lallana doing it or Gini's doing it. Gini and his interceptions and again, pressing, just cut stuff out.
Yeah.
And sometimes he does the same sort of thing as Henderson does in that sense of just like winning the ball back and then he'll pass it on to whoever's going to win the ball.
Yeah.
I love Gini towards the end of the game as well, where he was just in the corner.
Nothing was on and he was like, fuck it, I'm going to the corner.
But he just goes in the corner, like, arse out. Fine, I'm giving the ball here. It's staying 2-1. I was like, I'm all right with that, Gini. Yeah,
you need that. You need that sort of that shithousery that sort of the vintage Ferguson, vintage Mourinho's at Chelsea's. Those tactics won them league titles. But and my last guy, well, common bias for Mr. Divock Origi, but I think it's genuinely recognisable. I mean, he has Shaqiri on the pitch, who scored four more goals in this season, and then. Say there's attacking options there that would be ahead of him in the pecking order, but I think his performances of late have been brilliant. The fact that he's sort of reinvented himself as that left wing position, and I was saying to Chris, a guy who's 6'1", big, tall, lanky bloke, very strong. He's not your conventional left winger, but I think he's such a refreshing option to have off the bench because he's such a different dynamic, and it's his work ethic for me that really sort of shines. That he comes on the pitch and he's written off. It's not unfair to say that he was in the same bucket as Sturridge as being that guy that was sort of, we'll ship him off in the summer.
And
Lallana, of course. And it's these guys that stand up and be counted to say, I'm still here, I still want to contribute. And it's massive props to Origi for that.
In some sense, he's like a modern-day Stephen Colker, isn't he? Like,
he is, yeah.
He's a really good outlet. And he's, again, it comes back to consistency. For two, three, four games that he's come on as a sub, I thought he's been decent. Yeah. When we all went to the Wolves game, earlier on in the season, the cup game, I thought he was absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
I thought he was terrible.
Yeah.
But again, that's credit to Jurgen Klopp going, well, if you work hard, A, we'll reward you with your contract,
yeah.
B, I'll put you in the team,
yeah.
You get your place back. And then again, that should be a kick up the arse for Shaqiri and Keita,
yeah,
and anyone else who's in the squad going, well, if you work hard in training, you show your performances on the pitch, you'll get game time,
yeah.
And if you don't, then I'm not going to play it. It's too risky to have. Probably not
passengers.
Maybe not passengers. Klopp needs to trust his players to go and do the job on a pitch first and foremost. If he doesn't trust them, why is he going to play them when everything is so high stakes at the moment and the pressure's on?
Yeah.
Because ultimately he'll get criticised for going.
Yeah.
Imagine if Shaqiri came on and he was dog shit.
Yeah.
And you go, well, the first thing then would be, well, why have you brought Shaqiri on if he's not been performing well in the training or he's not played 3-4 games?
Mm.
Origi's been decent with 3-4 games waiting to go on. So he needs to. Well, look after himself. He's look after the team, which I feel like that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he showed that with Lallana, saying, play good in training, good performance against Burnley.
Yeah.
Why? What? If he dropped Lallana for this
and
put someone else in, what sort of message does that send that to him? No. He knocks people's confidence, I think.
No, you're right. And like I say, it's that sort of unison in the team where you work hard for the team, will work hard for you, and that reward system that I think he's doing fantastically with Lallana and Origi and Shaqiri and Keita's a different story, I think, with his injuries, and I just don't think he's quite there this season. But Shaqiri especially, he's had chances and he's had starts where he just hasn't done anything, and I think he's been
he has scored some good goals, but I think again it comes back to that defensive minus stuff of going again, everything's like high stakes, so obviously United and Everton games were so end to end and people were furious when he didn't come on. Well, it's all right saying he can go and create stuff, but he doesn't do the tracking back. Then yeah. He see goals and could have been sat there saying, we've lost them games.
Yeah, no, you're right. And like I say, it was United was the last team that he scored against. And that was a lot of games ago. And he's had plenty of games since then where he just hasn't looked sharp. Like I say, he's shown the other side of his game where when he's starting games that he is found out defensively. And I think you're right there. But I think big moral of the story here is top of the table.
Oh.
You know, 2 points clear of Manchester City. And it's nice to be able to bask for 2 weeks in a fantastic week of football. You know, we had the 4-2 at Burnley, then we had the 3-1 at Bayern Munich. We had a fantastic draw in the Champions League, and now we've just beaten Swansea 2-1.
Swansea? You've done that before?
Yeah, it's because they play in white. I have a kryptonite for teams that play in white. In my head, there's like four teams in the world that play in them, and I know it's not Real Madrid. For some reason, yeah. Fulham. Just beat Fulham 2-1, but point stands is we've had a great week of football comparatively to the last 2 weeks before that, which were a bit doom and gloom, and it's such a nice time to be a Liverpool fan to just breathe.
For the first time in a very long time, I think I actually welcomed the international break.
Yeah, you're
thought,
right. Yeah.
I never thought I'd hear myself say that. Yeah. Just going, just stop. Like, yeah. Just calm
catch
the fuck
my
down.
Breath.
Yeah, get your breath back, kind of regroup. I know everyone else is in that same kind of boat,
mm-hmm.
but it's been relentless for ages, and obviously we had that, like you said, those draws that I think quite a few people lost the Reds, and I get it was frustrating. We mm-hmm. created chances in those games, we didn't win, and the pressure's on in the title. Okay, we're 2 points ahead now.
Mm.
Okay, City have got a game in hand, but again, quarterfinals, top of the league, nice little break, fine. And again, it's come back to what you said at the top of the show, was that's what winners do,
yeah.
with the mentality of going, well,
yeah.
won't get beat by Fulham or won't let our heads drop with a 1-1 draw.
Mm.
We're going to go for the win.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that's a great way to end the show. And thank you very much, Ross, for joining me. Oh,
hang comes on. Payjack.
We've got a sprinting Payjack coming into the scene. Oh, strange.
Oh, that looks lovely, Chris. Where can I buy one of those?
Threadsforreds.com.
Yes, yeah, that is a fantastic. He might not have done himself too much justice today, old Virgil, but he is probably still the greatest man.
He won't be delivering it to you because he'll probably drop it.
Exactly, but anyway, Chris is over on the YouTube with his player ratings, his Twitter reactions and his match reaction. Jump on over to RedmanTV.com because we'll have the Final Word show out tomorrow for you, the Man of the Match show. He doesn't want to talk about a win, like I say, to cap off a fantastic last four results again and take us top of the league. So yeah, thank you very much, Ross. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.